In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Brothers and sisters, we heard in today's Gospel reading how the Lord is going up to Jerusalem. And there he will be betrayed, he will suffer, he will be crucified, buried, but on the third day he will rise again. The Lord was speaking to his disciples about the salvation that he was about to accomplish. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, St. Paul speaks about the salvation that Christ was to accomplish as well. He says that Christ comes and he enters into the temple, into the innermost sanctuary, into the Holy of Holies, bringing the offering of atonement, the offering of sacrifice. But it's not the blood of bulls or goats, sheep or lambs. It's his own blood. His own blood which purifies us and sanctifies us and makes us alive again. This is the great work that we are to celebrate in just 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks away from Holy Pascha. And in these 2 weeks, we have a lot to do. We have a lot to do, brothers and sisters. Just yesterday, we had our pre-Pascha cleaning. A number of you descended upon the parish center and you cleaned. You cleaned this place from top to bottom, inside and out. Not just the chapel, but the hall, the courtyard, the property, even down by the sign, people were weed whacking. Everything to get this house of God ready for the great celebration, the Feast of Feasts, Holy Pascha. And I was pleased to see so many of you who came and who worked so hard preparing for this important day. It was very encouraging. And I hope you were encouraged today when you were listening to the Gospel reading about how the Lord says, he who wants to be great will become the servant. He who desires to be first shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Today you're in good company, those of you who came to work, who became servants and slaves of God yesterday, working in his house, making things ready for the feast. For those who missed it, wipe your feet when you come in. I'm just teasing. Sorry. The real message is there's still opportunity. In the back of the church, when you do come in, you'll see there's a list of things that we need to do before Holy Week and Pascha. And during those days, there's a lot that needs to be done, lots of ways to serve and to help out to become like Christ. And of course, that's our joy, right? That's where our life is found. Not just what Christ has done for us, but that we can be incorporated into his life, that we can become one with him. That's what the rejoicing of Pascha is about, brothers and sisters, not the accomplishment only of what Christ did many years ago for the salvation of the world, but what he's actually doing within us, bringing about our death and resurrection even before we die. The soul can experience resurrection. The kingdom of God come with power even before death. You know, cleaning is going to be the theme for today's sermon. As we clean the Lord's house, we know that we also must clean our own houses. We clean the temple that we come to gather in. We must also clean the inner temple. In fact, during the presanctified liturgy, which we've been celebrating during these 40 days, at the end we have a beautiful prayer that speaks to us about how God is this great benefactor, this great bestower of blessings, who has given us these 40 days for purification, cleansing of soul and body, for restraint of passions, and for the hope of the resurrection. These 40 days have been given to us to be cleansed, to be made pure again, to be made holy by the grace of God. And how necessary the fast is. If we've been fasting, we know this. St. John of Kronstadt says, how corrupt I have become through sin. Anything bad, evil, and impure immediately enters into my thoughts and is felt in my heart. While anything good, right, pure, and holy is often only thought of or spoken of, but not felt in my heart. Woe unto me, for as yet evil is nearer to my heart than good. I think during these 40 days, if we have been struggling, we know how true this is. We haven't seen our strength, but we've seen our weakness. We haven't seen our purity, but our impurity. And that's actually where we want to be. But, you know, the fast is not the only thing that's necessary for us. The other thing that is necessary, in addition to being humble and realizing our weakness and our shortcomings, is hope. That all of the things that are wrong in our life can be set right. The bad can be made good. The wounds can be healed. The corruption can turn to incorruption. And the church has been trying to teach us this, even in the pre-Lenten Sundays, about the power of repentance. We are now at the last Sunday of the Great and Holy Fast, and today the church brings the greatest example, that we must have hope. And that our hope in Christ is not misplaced. Everyone knows today is the Sunday of St. Mary of Egypt. This woman who for 17 years lived in sin. In fact, she even said, I had an insatiable desire and an irrepressible passion for lying in filth. This was life to me. Every kind of abuse of nature I regarded as life. She had become a vessel of iniquity, a chalice filled with poison, sin, corruption, death. And she considered it life. But she was so filled with this that it actually overflowed into the life of others. She was not only corrupt, but she corrupted. She not only sinned, but she led into sin. She even describes how she sought more and more people to corrupt. And even youths. She said, there is no mentionable or unmentionable depravity of which I was not their teacher. This woman had become filth. And she was polluting God's creation. The most precious of that being the human being, made in his image and likeness. And for 17 years, she lived like that. That is what her aim in life was. And she's brought before us today. Because although she was a vessel of iniquity filled to overflowing, she became, through repentance, a vessel of purity, and a cleaning agent for the world. Cleaning agent for the world. We heard her life this past week that only became known because of the elder Zosimus, who met her, spoke with her, heard her life, witnessed her holiness, and because of that, was greater purified himself. He took that story back to the monks at the monastery of St. John the Baptist, there on the Jordan River. And they passed it down from generation to generation, each being encouraged by the power of this repentance. St. Sophronius, the patriarch of Jerusalem, eventually wrote it down, and it spread like wildfire throughout the church. And the church not only appointed St. Mary as a saint, celebrated on April 1st, not only appointed her whole life to be read in its entirety. Remember, we read that this week, right? How long was that life? How many times do you sit in church and hear the life of a saint read like that? You don't. Except for St. Mary. And the church again appoints this last Sunday of the fast to be in remembrance of Saint Mary. Why? So that we might realize that we can be purified. And not only purified, but become cleaning agents. You know, sometimes we don't realize how lofty our destiny is, how much Christ has planned for us. We think it's just enough to be kind of saved and squeak into heaven. Maybe we can get there without even really being purified. No. The plan is for us to be entirely purified, and so purified that we help to purify others by transference. We know what transference is, right? Everyone says you got to be very careful about what company you keep in life. Because the company that you keep, the people you associate, they will rub off on you. As parents, I'm a father. I know what it's like to have children. And I know that perhaps there are some good things, maybe, hopefully, that rub off on my children, but there's a lot of bad things. And how hard it is to realize that our sins can transfer to our children, our impurity to them, our vices, our passions, all that we identify with can become what they identify with. My greed, my worldly ambition, my love of pleasure and pride and all of these things, I transfer them to my children. How difficult it is to bear that. But what a great opportunity it is to share with our children what God has shared with us, this great Lent, this Holy Week that's coming up, this celebration of Christ's work that cleanses everything, all of us. If we have shared our sin with our children, we must share our repentance. What a joy that is, to whatever degree we can do it. You know, St. Mary is like us, brothers and sisters. We don't sometimes want to acknowledge that, but she is like us. We think we don't want to be like her because she was such a sinner. How could I possibly put myself in that category? Brothers and sisters, she was a daughter of God, gifted with the same image and likeness that we have been gifted with, of infinite value in the eyes of God. She was not her sin. She was not her sin. We are mistaken when we identify ourselves with our sin. And the world tells us to do that all the time. After all, we can identify with whatever we want, as whoever we want. And we identify with these lower, baser forms of existence. I think that's who we are. It's fallen nature. I can't do anything about it. That's me. It's a great lie. St. Nikon of Optina says, "We must consider all evil things, even the passions which war against us, to be not our own, but of the enemy, the devil. This is extremely important. You can only conquer a passion when you do not consider it as part of you." You can only conquer a passion when you do not consider it as part of you. St. Mary, for 17 years, considered her passions as part of her. She came to the church, she tried to come in, as we heard in the life, she couldn't enter. She couldn't venerate the cross. And she realized why. It was because of her sin. And the moment she turned to God through prayer and intercession of His Most Pure Mother, she began to distance herself from her sin. She began to say, "I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm not going to be that person. I'm going to become a child of God again." And that very moment, she was able to enter into the church, venerate the cross, and be reborn. She struggled, yes, for 17 years. to be reborn, to be remade, refashioned in her repentance, but she experienced the next 30 years as peace beyond understanding. Because God had separated her sin from her. She no longer identified with her sin, but she identified with Christ, who is her Savior. The scriptures say, as far as the east is from the west. Picture that, the east from the west. How far is that? It can't be further, right? That's how far he separates our transgressions from us. That's our destiny, brothers and sisters. The things that have enslaved us and hold us back, the things that we're ashamed of and regret, all of that is to be separated entirely from us. And what's to be left? But those who are made in the image and likeness of God. Those who by Christ have been purified. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Brothers and sisters, we have a great destiny. Not only to be cleansed, but to serve the living God in the cleansing of others. St. Mary, who had defiled so many, now purifies so many. Where we've fallen so much, so short with our loved ones, we can rise to such heights in Christ with our loved ones. What we have received from Christ, we can transfer to the world. Brothers and sisters, it's the last week. Let us spend it cleaning the mind, the heart, the will, the soul, the body, everything. Cleaning the whole person. And not only being purified, but helping by that transfer it to others. It's already happening in this community. We feed off of one another. We're energized by one another. We're purified by one another. Because, brothers and sisters, Christ is here doing that. In this temple and in your temples. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.